Now let's continue on. Now this group that sent it out comes from the World News Daily. And I don't, at the end it tells about the group. But here, you see, what's happening, it's slamming down right in the face of all Sunday keepers. Now, what are you going to do? Which then also brings up other questions. How far are you going to protect the Word of God? How much are you going to obey it? Because you see, what is happening here is direct punishment for their rejecting the laws and commandments of God. It's the way I view it. So they said here, it's not just plain wrong, it's dangerous according to Christian Trends analyst. The aim of the program, which is promoted by social activists behind Faith Shared website, and I'll get to that later, is to counter the message from Islamic activists who say opposition to their religion is the product of what they are calling a cottage industry of hate. So you see, when you have freedom of religion with no definition, this is what's going to happen. Did you know that the armed forces recognize witchcraft as a religion? Did you know that at the Air Force Academy in Colorado that they have an outdoor worship place for Wiccans? So you see, once you start compromising the Word of God and not repenting and recovering what is true, then sooner or later, if you continue along the path, look what's going to happen. See? Now, all of these contented Protestants, now what's going to happen? See? Now what's going to happen? So the Interfaith Alliance and Human Rights First is, see, rather than God first, you see. There's a way that seems right to a man, the ends thereof are the way of death, right? Okay? So, let's get along and go along. See? Calling on Christian clergy to read portions of the Quran during their services Sunday. The reading supporters say will counter anti-Muslim bigotry and negative stereotypes that have erupted throughout the country in the past year and led to misconceptions, distrust, and in some cases, violence. So you're going to tame them by joining them? Is that how you are going to do it? We'll see some command some God's word here in just a minute. Rather than going back to God. Several good comments were made was, number one, that worldly Christianity has lost its way so much that they're beginning to dabble in other things, seeking to find satisfaction because there's not the Spirit of God. And so this comes as a judgment upon them. Let's read on here. Counter to that, Trends Analysis Ken Silva said, I would think they need to have their spiritual heads examined. Should have done that long ago. It's foolish to think that we're going to read something that originates with demons and read that in a Christian church, Silva said. This amounts to spiritual treason. So, at least they're standing up for what is right. But the question is, for how long? For how long? See? When Protestantism stands up there and says, the law has been done away. Well, let's look and see what they're saying here. Okay? Let's look at some scriptures that God says. What's the first thing that you do? I had to look for my notes again. They keep slipping under the inside of my Bible stand, and I look down for my notes and I can't find them. All right. When they say the law has been done away, now they have to do a lot of dancing around the circle because they only want to get rid of two commandments, and that is the second commandment and the fourth commandment. But let's come back here to Exodus 20. And let's see what all of this amounts to. See? It's more than just the second commandment. It's more than just the fourth commandment. Because when you transgress one commandment, as James said, you transgress all. When you get rid of one, sooner or later, you're going to get rid of all. Is that not correct? And when we have a society that Jesus said, and lawlessness shall be multiplied. And how is it multiplied? Because when they're able to take lawless laws, and what do I mean by lawless laws? That's not a contradiction. Laws that do away with adherence to the Word of God are lawless laws. For example, the reason that these things are coming across is because in America we have become so politically correct and tolerant that what? We must accept everybody. We can't speak against homosexuals because now it's in the law as a hate crime. We can't speak against other religions because that is also a hate crime. So now the Muslims are pushing this whole agenda, you see, because the enemy has already been let in the gate. God gave a way as to how to fight the enemy. You love him and trust him, and he said that if you diligently keep my commandments, I will fight for you. I will use 5 men to chase 100, and 100 shall put 10,000 to flight. But if you don't, 5 of them is going to chase 100 of you, and 100 of them will chase 10,000 of you. How's our war going against terrorism? All the might, all the power, all the thousands, all the money, all the ammunition, all the troops. We're still afraid of, that one terrorist. Now, I do a lot of traveling and flying. And I always go through the pat-down. And I just look upon that as a little persecution to get where I need to go. But so far, they haven't violated my junk. Okay. So, I smile, and whenever I have a brand new recruit doing the thing, I tell them, well, I've been through this thing so many times, I could teach you, your new recruits, what to do. Okay. Exodus 20, verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Only God can take us out of sin. That's what he's talking about here. You shall have no other gods before me. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are. All of these other religions have other gods, period. When you do that, you violate all the rest of them. But thinking that they can take the name of the true God and say, oh God, we're going to worship you with these other things because these are really nice. Look at this beautiful idol of the Virgin Mary with a golden crown on top. And, you know, we could really get a lot more converts if we just, you know, change the name from Ishtar to Mary. Just think, we could get thousands to swell the rolls of the churches. And that's what they've done. Okay? So they break the second one. Now this one here is very clear. And of course, as we have covered, we'll just mention this. And what is going to be the thing that the false prophet is immediately going to command everyone to do when he gets his power of miracles? And he gets his power of miracles, and what is his first miracle going to be? Raising the beast back to life. Then he calls fire down from heaven to prove his authority that it's from God. Then what does he tell everyone to do? Make an idol to the beast. Right? But the second commandment is very clear, isn't it? You shall not. Now, what do you suppose shall not mean? See, today you have to define people, to people, what it means. Remember our president, after he got caught in his infamous affairs, Wilhelm Clinton, how did he defend it over public television? He said, it depends on what is. And that's the way people view this. It depends what you mean by you shall not. Now, what if you have good intentions in your heart? What if you are sincere? What if you believe it to the very depths of your being? Does that make it right? See, a lot of people say, well, I'm sincere. Well, so is Charles Manson. Okay? Everybody's sincere. Even someone who says, well, I'm a dirty, rotten liar. He's sincere in saying that because he's going to be a dirty, rotten liar. So sincerity is proof of nothing. The word of God is, God says, you shall not make. So what's the first thing the false prophet is going to command people to do? Make an image for the beast. You shall not make for yourselves any graven image of any likeness of anything that's in the heavens above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow yourself down to them nor serve them, because you're going to get the wrath of God. And don't you think the great tribulation is going to be the wrath of God? Don't you think that all of those idolatrous empires of the past have been destroyed? Where are they today? They're gone. Or he says, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. You want your children cursed? Make and bow down to idols. Look the world over. Look every civilization. Look at those today on the face of the earth where they have idols. How are the children? How are the people? Well, maybe some of them are in better shape today because the people, the children of Israel, have rejected God, and God is raising them up to correct us, you see. That's why China is being raised up, and I got some more information I need to bring on China too, by the way. It's not because China is righteous. It's because God is going to bless them from the point of view that they are going to develop the greatest armies in the world, and he has prophesied that it's going to be done, and they are going to be raised up to do it, and God's correction will eventually be on them, Ezekiel 38 and 39. And you know, just mark this word. Remember, the British made a great ungodly mistake after God gave them the worldwide empire. At the time, they controlled all of India and all of Afghanistan. And what did the British do? They decided not to try and conquer China, but take their cities on the coast. And then they took all of the opium out of Afghanistan and had the opium wars against China. And don't think for a minute that the Chinese have forgotten that. So when they take over Afghanistan, which is getting close that they will, and they might even be very friendly about it because they have a lot of workers there, and they might tell Americans, well, look, you're pulling out, we've got to bring our troops in to protect our workers. So we're gonna sign an agreement with the Afghan government to bring our troops in to give them protection and protect our workers. And there won't be a thing that the Western world can do about it. And what will they then control? All the opium in Afghanistan. And that supplies 92% of the heroin to Europe. What do you suppose they're going to do with it? Don't you think they're going to do exactly like they did during the Vietnam War? Make thousands and millions of heroin addicts, of Americans who represent the power of the West? So God is going to use them as the hand of his punishment against us because we've rejected God. So even though they have a religion full of idols, God is going to use them. But God's correction against them is going to be so absolutely fierce and is going to come in such a way. Now you read Ezekiel 38 and 39, what's going to happen to them? One comment was made, the British are mothballing their last aircraft carrier while China is building them. And they also have a naval base in southern Pakistan, right on the Indian Ocean. So they can protect the exports and imports coming to China with their own navy. That'll also be handy for moving troops to the Middle East, won't it? Yes. You can send some by the roads that they're building. You can send some by troop ships around and come up, and they can get off right there at the Kuwait, be ready to fight Christ. See, you need to think big on these things, okay? Now back to the subject at hand here. Let's finish verse 6 here. But showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Now, is that not New Testament doctrine, verse 6? What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what Jesus said. Who was Jesus? The one who was the Lord God of the Old Testament. Yes. All right, let's look at some other things concerning other gods. Let's come here to Exodus 23. God made this known, but what are they doing in some of these Sunday-keeping churches? Now, not all of them. But what's going to happen? Satan is going to give them a spirit of success, a spirit of love, a spirit of understanding. Oh, what a wonderful service it was, and that imam was just wonderful. And oh, so was that Hindu priest. They were so kind, and the Buddhist priest spoke so well of compassion, just like the Dalai Lama. Wish we had that in our Christian church. Well, we can have it with this amalgamation. I mean, you can really see what's going to happen, okay? Exodus 23. Let's pick it up here in verse 24. Verse 24, you shall not bow down to their gods nor serve them. So now we have Allah and we have the Quran. You shall not do according to their works, but you shall surely tear them down and shall surely smash their standing idols. What do you think Christ is going to do when he comes back? Why do you think the world is going to have so much destruction? Every vestige of every temple and every idol is going to be dust. It's going to all be destroyed. And that's going to be the loving Jesus that so many pacifists think wouldn't raise his hand to harm a flea. Verse 25, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. How's that for a health care plan? Very inexpensive, isn't it? What does it cost you? Worship of God? Love of God? Loyalty to God? Denying all these false gods? Yes, that's something. Come over here to verse 32. You shall make no covenant with them or with their gods. Now, what did they have to do to get these imams and rabbis and Buddhist priest and Hindu priest and Orthodox priest and Catholic priest to come into the Protestant churches and all share services? They had to have an agreement, didn't they? Now, what is an agreement? An agreement is a form of a covenant. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me, For if you serve their gods, it shall surely be a snare to you. Now, those are pretty strong words, aren't they, huh? Look what happened when they did it in Exodus 32. Now, we've covered that recently, so I'm not going to do that. When they had the golden calf. And who is the one who fashioned it? Well, Aaron did. Which makes you wonder, was he an idol maker in Egypt? What was his occupation in Egypt? How did he know how to make an idol? Huh? Especially the golden calf with the horns, with the sun disc in between the two horns. And what did he do? He did the same thing that the ecumenists are doing today. And Exodus 32 is a prophetic death warrant of the religions of this world, and a prophetic death warrant of how people will stray from God. So what did he do? Set up the idol, or what did he say? Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. See, we'll do these things to the Lord. If we do them to the Lord, isn't that wonderful? Oh, we're so good. We're so nice. We're so tolerant. Oh, we won't speak evil of anyone. Oh, we love these wonderful people. But have you read where they are instructed to kill all Christians? Oh, well, they really didn't mean that. Wait until the martyrdom comes and you'll find out. And how are people beheaded? Well, there are two ways. And what does it talk about beheaded back there in Revelation 20? Beheaded for the witness of Christ? How are people beheaded? Two ways, with a sword or a guillotine. How do the Muslims do it? With a sword. Yes, indeed. All right, Exodus 34, verse 12. He gave warnings and warnings and warnings and warnings and warnings to the people over and over again. That's why when any Christian church says the law has been done away, they are blaspheming God. They are saying that God, who is lawgiver, is lawless. Now, while God puts up with some of the things that Protestants do that are right, that is their ultimate condemnation, and the judgment is coming upon them. And part of the judgment is the amalgamation of the religions. You won't protect the word of God. So I will send in all of these other religions, and pretty soon it's going to get down to what? If you love God, you're going to have to do it at home, right? That's why we have church at home. All right, verse 12. Take heed to yourselves, lest you make a covenant with the people. That is all the Canaanites that were there. People of the land where you go, lest it be a snare in the midst of you. But their altars you shall destroy. Their images you shall break down. Now, this is what the British should have done. In India, when they conquered India, they didn't do it. For you shall worship no other god for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go whoring after their gods and do sacrifice to their gods and call you, and you eat of his sacrifice. Oh, that smells so nice. Remember what happened to the children of Israel there in Numbers 25 and the children of Moab and the princes and so forth? Balaam told Balak, now look, you just bring up your people to the borders of where the Israelites are camping, and you set up a little feast out there. Now we know that they can't eat any bread, and they eat very little meat, and they have to eat this manna every day, three times a day. Now, we know that they're tired of that. So you set this up out there, and you get the best of the oxen, and you get the best of the sheep, and you have your best-looking women out there, and you have the music, and you have the dancing, and you have the singing, and you have all of these things right close by, and all the smoke is going to come up from you're cooking all, sacrificing all of these animals, and the Israelites are going to be in there, and the invitation you need to send them is, well, come. We're nice people. Come and have something to eat with us and enjoy some meat. After all, wouldn't you like a nice bite of meat after having manna for, 38 years? You think of that? Oh, what a boring diet. Come on over and have some of our beef and some of our lamb and some of our chicken. Boy, okay. Verse 16, and lest you take from their daughters for your sons and their daughters go whoring after their gods and make your sons go whoring after their gods, you shall make no molten image, molten gods for yourselves. What happened to Solomon? Look what happened to Solomon. Every blessing of God. But he went against the word of God because he didn't love the word of God. Amazing, isn't it? Yes, here's spiritual treason. Let's come to Deuteronomy 12. How many times did God have to say it? Read all of Jeremiah. Read all of Ezekiel. Read all of Isaiah. Read the minor prophets, okay? What was their problem? Exactly what we just read. What is our problem in the Church of God today? Well, because they're not getting growth the way that people want, and there are too many ministers looking in some of the churches of God to receive the tithes and offerings of God, not to preach the gospel, but to retire. What do you think God is going to do with that? What do you think is going to happen to some of these churches of God that do that? You wait. Their judgment is coming just like it's coming upon Israel today. Now, chapter 12, verse 1. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful or diligent to do in the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives you to possess all the days that you live upon the earth. How long is the law binding upon us? From birth to death. Verse 2. You shall utterly destroy all the sacred places where the nations which you shall possess serve their gods, on the high mountains, on the hills, and under every green tree. You shall demolish their altars. You shall smash their standing pillars. You shall burn their asherim with fire. You shall cut to shards the graven images of their gods and destroy their names out of that place. You shall not do so to the Lord your God. Can't mistake that, can you? No, you can't. So what do we want here in our modern world? We want tolerance. We want acceptance. See? How far have we gone from God? Why is Christianity in the world falling apart? Why are there problems within the churches of God? Very same reason. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is it not? Okay? Now, let's come here to verse 28. Notice again, he says the same thing. But now he clarifies it. Be careful to observe and obey all the words. Okay, hold your place here. Come to John 14. John 14, this will also tell you what's wrong with many of the churches of God. Now, a lot of them, because they think that they are following what they consider God's only apostle on earth, that if you go by his 18 main teachings, you're going to be just fine. They're deluded. They're following a man, and they've made an idol out of a man. Okay, John 14. All right, let's look at verse 15 here. Let's see how it's required of us today. If you love me, do you love Christ? Really? Keep the commandments, namely my commandments. Now consider that he was the Lord God of the Old Testament as well. Then he says he'll ask the Father, give another comforter, the Spirit of the truth. Now the Spirit of the truth, with the washing of the water of the word, helps us overcome a deceitful nature that we have, which nature we have to fight all of the time. And we stumble and slip and fall and sin, and we need mercy and forgiveness to get up and go again. Okay? All right. He says here, verse 20, in that day that he sends the Holy Spirit, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The one who has my commandments and is keeping them, that is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now Judas, who was Iscariot, couldn't understand. He said, Lord, how are you going to do that? Here's the answer, verse 23. Let's see how this compares with what we just read, okay? Jesus answered and said to him, if you love me, said to him, if you love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. The one who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Okay? So the love of God is action first and emotion second. Most people believe the love of God is emotion first and no action later. Now let's come back here to Deuteronomy 12. And let's pick it up here in verse 28. And we are going to see it's the same thing today. See? Haven't the Protestants done to the New Testament what the children of Israel did to the Old Testament? Yes, indeed. Verse 28. Be careful to observe and obey all. There's that little word again. These words. Which I command you, that's why he had it written down. See? You can't rely on word of mouth, because you can always change that. Be careful to observe and obey all these words which I command you, so that it may go well with you. God wants it to go well. God wants people to be happy. But he alone knows how they are to be happy. Not like our Constitution, don't we acknowledge that we're endowed by our Creator for the pursuit of happiness? Only God knows. May be well with you and with your children after you forever when you do that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God, not in your own sight. People say, you know, well, I don't agree with God on that. Well, God will allow you to disagree, but you immediately bring a curse upon yourself. How is that? You begin to close your eyes to the word of God. Is that not a curse? And then you become blind spiritually. Is that not a curse? But, you know, just like the Pharisees, after he healed the man who was born blind, he said he did it so that the blind could see and that those who see would be blind. And the Pharisees understood that he was speaking of them. Yes. All right, let's read on here. Verse 29, when the Lord your God shall cut off the nations before you where you go to possess them, and you take their place and dwell in their land, take heed to yourselves. Now notice the warning here. Be careful to observe. Take heed to yourselves that you do not become ensnared by following them after they are destroyed before you, and that you do not ask about their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods that I may also do likewise? Isn't that wonderful? Let's find out what the Muslims think. Bring them right into this Christian church. Of course, they're not going to read the section which says, kill all Christians. And of course, the Christians are not going to read the Old Testament which says, destroy all those religions. Oh, we're going to coddle everyone and be nice and hugs and kisses and aren't we so good and wonderful and tolerant and broad-minded, right? Yes. Now, in the second sermon, you're going to find out the source of this. And you are going to be absolutely shocked. Maybe some of you won't. Some of you may not be. But let's finish this here. Okay? Verse 31. Is this plain or not? You shall not do so to the Lord your God. That is, go borrow what they do and say, oh, we're doing it to the Lord, so that's nice and fine and very good, because we're broad-minded. What did Jesus have to say about the broad way? Remember that? Broad is the way that leads to destruction, correct? And many go in that gate. Are they not doing it? You shall not do so to the Lord your God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates. Oh, well, how can a God of love hate? Because he hates the evil, and he hates the sin, and he hates the unrepentant sinner. If you don't believe that, well, go ahead and read the 10th chapter of Hebrews and find out what happens to those who despise the sacrifice of Christ and count it as an unholy thing. They are going to face the fiery furnace and judgment of God, correct? Yes, indeed. Is that love? No. That is hate. Continuing. Which he hates, they have done to their gods, even their sons and their daughters have they burned in the fire to their gods. Imagine the brainwashing and the mind-numbing stupidity that comes along when people are brainwashed into believing that if they take their newborn children and sacrifice them in fire to Baal, that God will bless them. Even their sons and their daughters, they burned in the fire to their gods. Oh, that was such a wonderful dedication that you gave. Oh, I know that you're crying for the time being, but you know, Moloch will bless you. Verse 32. Whatsoever thing I have commanded you, be careful to do it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. So what are they doing with these things in so-called Christian churches today? Are they not taking away from the Word of God and adding to it the teachings of other religions? Aren't they doing exactly what God said not to do? And why do they do it? Because they're in a stupor of drunkenness that they think that God is lawless and has done away with his laws, when God gave his laws so it would be well with us. Okay, well, there's a lot more to it. So we'll go ahead and end here and pick it up on the next sermon. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.